Very good morning to you, Namibia, and very good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome. Welcome to your favorite station, your 24-hour talk radio station, Eagle FM. All right, it's a Monday morning, and you might be, you know, you may have a very beautiful, very good weekend, and, you know, you're finding yourself very difficult actually getting out of, do I have to do this? And you have to come up with so many reasons, you know? You know, coming up so many reasons to not to go to work. So, but you know what? You gotta do what you gotta do. Just get up and go and get move. And if you're already at work, yeah, just shake it off, man. Shake it off. Shake it off and get to work. Get to work. All right. So good morning and welcome. Welcome. So. Thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you joining us. And this is Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshaveli. And you just get on Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and, well, politics as well. So, and every weekday we come here and we cut through the noise to make, sense of the big stories, the trends, and numbers, making headlines. So we keep it clear here. And always what we mostly do, ask questions, being curious, asking questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So, the views also shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger, you know, conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me. And get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and thanks for joining us. Our time is 6 minutes past the hour of eight. And we come in live and direct from the mighty Oshana regions. And we're coming from the Ondangwa studio. So it's actually beautiful. It's a beautiful day today. Monday morning this morning. When I just get into Ondangwa, it started raining. The weather looks together. Eh? It's quite together. I just want to turn around and go back home and sleep. Eh? Oh, the weather looks very, very, very good. And I hope it does in your area as well. So yeah. Let's start off today. We don't have really, there isn't much that is happening, you know, that happened in the course of history in Africa. So we don't have really anything on this day in Africa. So yeah, let's get to our thought for the day this morning. It's a Monday morning. What is our thought for the day? It's quite simple. Do not judge. No, do not just give me fish. Okay, you know that saying. Do not just give me fish. Teach me how to fish. Do not just give me fish. Teach me how to fish. Okay? So, well, in other words, true help is not only about solving today's problem. It's about giving someone the knowledge, giving someone the skills, and the confidence actually to stand on their own feet tomorrow, okay? Not just today, but tomorrow. Because when you hand someone fish, they eat for one day. But when you teach them how to fish, they can feed themselves for life. So that is a powerful, powerful lesson for all of us in our homes, in our schools, in our communities, even in our workplace. Okay, let us not only look for quick fixes. Okay, let us invest in people. Let us share skills. Let us build self self-reliance. You know, even for the country, let's build self-reliance, because the real progress is not just about survival for today, because sometimes we find ourselves in just that survival mode. You know, let's just survive today. So it's not just about survival for today. It's about strength for the future. So that is our thought for the day. And thanks for joining us this morning. So, all right, it's the 30th of March. Ah, it's only one day left. We're still dragging on. We're dragging on. Keep on holding on, holding on. You're almost there. You're almost there. Or you, for some people, might not even you're almost there, because you know already you can get there, but still nothing. Still nothing, because you know everything that comes in is already committed. Petrol is going up, you know, and it's actually what we're looking at. What are we discussing this morning? What are we definitely discussing this morning? You know what? So Namibian government, you know, will subsidize a record, $500 million April to cover the massive, you know, fuel under recovery, that's actually caused by, you know, by the global oil market shocks. So that actually what we're going to look at. That's also the story that make a headline, that actually make a front page for the Villager this morning, as for the today's edition of the Villager. And, you know, it's a story by Nginomema Valley Hangala. We're going to look at that. We're going to go into that and see what is going on. Okay, make sure, and also make sure that you subscribe for the Villager. You don't want to miss, you know, a very important, you know, very latest and updated economic and business news that come into you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, but you can only get that if you subscribe. Okay. So subscribe now. What you need to do, if this is you're hearing this for the first time, you know, you just send your name and your email address to this number, 081-200-4144. 081-200-4144. Maybe just say subscribe. And then, well, voila, you're done. You're done. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you'll be receiving your free e-newspaper, The Villagers. And make sure that you also share, when you share with others, so that when they see the news that they read and all that, then maybe they can also subscribe. All right. So that's how it goes. And the other interesting issues, we're talking about imports today. Okay. Today we're just focusing on imports. And the other interesting story in the daily newspaper, despite Namibia being actually a major fish exporter, we are a major fish exporter. Namibia is importing about 140 million in hake. Imported. We imported 140 million in hake in the last quarter of 2025. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. If you find out why, you know, because this is a situation that industry leaders, you know, blaming on a declining local quotas and higher cost. So we're going to get into that. And I wanted you to be part of that. So unfortunately, I just telling you at the beginning, our landline is still not working, but I'm going to give you later on my number, my personal number. You can call me on my cell phone, and I'll put you on air, okay, through that, okay? And as soon as you do that, as soon as you finish calling, delete it, okay? delete it, forget it, as if you ever called me, okay? Because, you know, you have someone actually calling in the middle of the night and telling you certain things that, you know what you wear. Yeah, and you are right. You are probably sleeping or something like that. So please, as soon as you are done, delete it. Ne? Please, eh? I'll beg you. All right? So, and your participation, definitely, I would like to be part of. I want you to unpack all this with me, yeah, right here. Okay, stay tuned. We'll come back after this.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongote samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi thoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Well, that's right. Good morning and welcome, 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 welcome. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Mike Oshaveli. And this morning, we have got a big one, man. We have got a big, big one for you. Petrol is going up. You know, petrol is going up. And there are those, okay, I don't have a car, so. Well, those who have cars, well, stay tuned. You're gonna realize that, you know, you will be also affected, you know. All right. Petrol is going up by $2.50 a liter. And diesel is $4 a liter. Yep, that's, and we're not actually playing April Fool earlier before April. So that's what is going to happen. Okay. So, and even after those increases, even after the government now did all these increases, the government is still actually taking out $500 million Namibian dollar. You know, the government itself, the government now, they are also taking out about $500 million. You know, 500 million just to keep prices from going even higher. Okay? 500 million. So, let's get into that. Let's get into a bit of that so that we saw and ask what is happening, why this is happening, who is paying for it, and what it means for you and your family and this country going ahead. What does it mean, really? All right. As I said, the story is in today's edition of the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe. And if you subscribe, make sure that you get your copy this morning. Go to it. Read in detail. What is the story? So we're just unpacking certain aspect within that story. We're not going word by word about the story. That's for you to read. Okay. So, whoa, the strong sound of rain outside. All right. So, all right. Make sure that you go to your, you subscribe. And as I said, this is a story in today's edition of the Villager. So let's start maybe with the why, because it didn't start in Namibia. Okay. Don't blame your government because of what is going on. But there are part that you're going to blame your government. Okay. So we're going to look at that deep down the line, but don't blame your government because this didn't start in Namibia. So this start thousand of kilometer away, somewhere in the Middle East. Okay. So you see how, you know, and those who said, as I said earlier on, those who said, well, I don't have a car, so I don't need to be bothered. This doesn't bother me, shouldn't bother me. You see how something that's actually happening started thousands of kilometers away somewhere in the Middle East, You see how that is actually affecting Namibia. You know? So the United States and Israel military operation against Iran that has been going on now for almost a month or something. You know? That's actually what has to do with everything. That's what has to do with everything. That what has to do with your taxi fare could be going up. Okay? Wherever you find yourself in this country. Okay? That your petrol has gone up and your diesel gone up. So, yeah. And let me tell you why. Okay? Let me tell you why. Iran is sitting on the edge of something called the Strait of Hormuz. Strait of Hormuz, that's a narrow kind of like bottleneck of water between Iran and the Arabian Peninsula, And that is what is, that's what has, you know, that's what has to do with everything now. All right. So about 20% of the world crude oil and refined petroleum passes through that strait every single day. Okay? And one-fifth of the global supply now, when that strait gets disrupted or stopped or whatever the case, like the case now, when ships can't pass, when freight route now get, you know, rerouted, change different and now get into some other direction, different direction. So the whole world feel it. Eh? The whole world actually is feeling it. And the, according to the Rabidan Energy, a well-known consulting firm, they say this is the biggest oil disruption in history. Not one of the biggest. Okay? So, that shockwave forced our government to hike the price of fuel. And it's not only our government. So, it's the whole world. It's everywhere. So, as I said, that shockwave that forced our government to hike the price of fuel, it started in the Persian Gulf. It rippled through the global oil market. And it landed right here in Namibia. So that's why we're actually speaking the language that we speak today. Okay? That's why we're here. Well, Namibia is one of the country that import every single drop of its refined oil. Okay? We're not producing yet. Hopefully sooner than later. We import every single drop of our refined fuel. So every liter you put in your car, it's imported. Okay? We produce zero refined petroleum domestically. And that, my friend, is the vulnerability at the heart of this story. When you read this story, it's about Namibia's vulnerability. Yeah? That is the vulnerability, you know? That is at the heart of the story that we're looking at. Okay? So that's how vulnerable we are. If the prices goes up, if the price, you know, if there's a global shock or disruption anywhere, somewhere, what do? You just pray. But is there anything that we can do? But before we look at those, before we look at what the government have done, let's talk about numbers, okay? Because numbers are really, really, really massive. Okay, let's look at some of the numbers that are thrown out there, you know, about what is going on. During March 2026, the price of petrol on international market average about $125 per barrel. All right? I told you last time, I don't know how big is the barrel. Okay. So, but it costs about $125 per barrel. You know? So that is a jump of nearly 57% compared to February. Imagine, from just February, 57% jump in comparing to February price. And the diesel, even worse. Diesel is even worse. Both the 50 ppm and the 10 ppm, those are great, shot up by more than 122%. Shot up, it increased by more than 122%. That's mean more than double in a single month. You see how this is, how serious this is. This is okay, 120%. It's more than double, and that's just in a single month. Okay, so, and to make matter worse, if you look at Namibia, to make water worse for Namibia, for us, Namibia dollar weakened by about 3.9% against the US dollar during that period. You know, during this period, you know, our dollar actually weakened by 3.9%. So not only is oil more expensive globally, imagine, not only that oil is more expensive globally, now we have to buy it. Remember that we import every single drop of oil that comes in here. It's not only that the oil now is expensive globally, it is even more expensive for us because our currency is buying less. Because it's weakened. It's buying less. Now, when you hear the term, so when you read the story now, it tells you under recovery. Under recovery, I think Nino Menmabali did very good by explaining what is this under recovery, okay? So, and what it means in a very simple term is that, and that this make me appreciate actually my government a little bit more. You know, it's only when you understand things like this, this make me appreciate a little bit more of my government. You know, what it means is that the price you are paying at the pump is lower than it's lower than what it's actually cost to import fuel. The price that you are paying at the pump is actually lower than what it actually costs to import that fuel. You understand? So the gap between what fuel costs and what we pay, that is the under recovery. And right now, that gap is absolutely, absolutely big. You remember what I was talking earlier on? You know, it's absolutely big. On diesel, the 50 ppm grade, that the 50 ppm grade, the under recovery stands at about 129 cents a liter. That's a 50 ppm. Those are great. So on the 10 ppm grade, it's a massive, massive 1,285 cents. You see that? Nearly $13 per liter. So, all right, everything is fine on this side.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Omudiha, utekirwa kaguna, imatina, omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana, nongeshifa, ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa, ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro mirandi soma yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Yeah. I'm not too sure whether. So I'm not too sure whether I'm on air. Am I on air? All right. Okay. We're talking about the. I was just explaining the recovery. I was just talking about the under recovery that was a. Okay. All right. So, I was just talking about the under the, as I said, if you didn't catch me what I was actually saying earlier on, and I was saying, I really do appreciate, my government now by understanding what this and Ngino Menover in the article explained this very well. So, yeah. So that under, recovery, it means, in a simple word, it means that the price you are paying at the pump is lower than what is actually cost to import the fuel. You know, as I said, that actually make me then appreciate the government much, much, much better what they have done. So now the gap between what fuel costs and what we pay. So what it costs and what we pay. That is the under recovery. And right now, that gap is really, really, really big. And I was just giving an example that on diesel, the 50 ppm grade, the under recovery stand at about 129 cent a liter. Okay. And on the 10 ppm, ppm grade is, it's 1,285 cents. That's nearly $13 per liter. And on petrol, we are looking at under recovery of 600 cents per liter. So what does the government do? Now, when the things that the government can't do, it can't pass on that now to this consumer. You understand? You can't pass on 129 or 1,282 for the 10 PP grade, and he can't pass on 600 cents per liter on the consumer. The government can't do that. We won't survive. Yeah? We won't survive. So you would pay a way over, let's say, over 30 liters, over $30 a liter. You understand? Over $30 a liter. If the government would have actually, you know, passed that on a consumer, we wouldn't cope. We wouldn't cope. The economy would go heel down. Definitely. Definitely. So the Ministry of Industry and Mine and Energy made a call. They made a call. Push some of the cost to consumer. So they said, okay, let's push some cost to the consumer. And that's why you have now the $2.50 on the petrol and $4 on the diesel. That is some that has been pushed on you. All right. So now what the government do? The government then absorb the rest through the National Energy Fund. Okay. So the rest of that has been now absorbed by the National Energy Fund. So at that absorption, that absorption, $500 million. So the $500 million is that absorption. Now that's now for the month of April only. You understand? That $500 million, that $500 million, is only for the month of April. You see? So that's why I said, there's a reason to appreciate your government at this point in time, that part. And on top of that, the cabinet approved a 50% reduction in fuel levies for 3 months. 50% reduction in fuel levies for 3 months. That means April, starting now, April through June. And this is now to try keep things manageable at the pump, at your, you know, at the petrol station. It's try to keep things more manageable now. Now, imagine that. That means for 3 months, the government actually also not getting revenues. Eh? It's not getting fuel revenues from the, you know, from the government is not getting fuel revenues. We're going to look at that as well. So, you see, yeah, that in itself, it's one thing that I wouldn't want to be. Seriously, when sometimes you look at these things, and sometimes we don't put ourselves in the shoes of those who are in charge, like Minister of Finance, maybe, and the President. You know, you don't put yourself into the shoes of these people sometimes, so because you don't want to be in their shoes, because you just go to bed and sleep. Well, you worry about how much that you're going to pay at the pump, but it has to worry. They have to worry more. Where do we jungle? You know, how do you do this? You know, where do you, now I'm doing this as if you can see me. Where do we cut and where do we, you know, so that we can still go on? It's not easy. I think it's absolutely not easy given something that is not, that's not, you brought on yourself. There are things that we actually talk about that, yeah, we brought that on ourselves. Okay. But this, we haven't brought it on ourselves. It's sometimes it just happened. The war, conflict just started. And then, you know, we caught up, you know, because we could be our dependence, 100% relying on outside import. So that we could be. Now let's talk about what is actually this mean for us. Okay. What does it mean? If you drive to work every day, let's think. Okay. My calculations, you know, I'm not that bad. I wasn't good at math, but I can always figure this out. So if you drive to work every day and you fill up your tank, let's say, for example, let's say 50 liters, you're looking at paying roughly 125 more. You understand? 125 more for petrol per tank. Okay? If you fill up, let's say 50 liters. So you're paying more. What you're paying now from April, you know, from the 1st of April, you're paying 125 more. For diesel, that is about 200 extra every time you fill up. Now, what I want you to recognize is this. That amount of money now that you pay, where are you going to get it? The 125 more, where are you going to get it? Because your salary hasn't changed. Your salary hasn't changed. Now, where does that more? Now, that has actually, that has created a hole in your income. Do you understand? It create a whole income. This 125, I'm just giving now, yeah, just for the petrol now, it has taken your electricity. Eh? It has taken your transport money. Eh? So for many Namibians household, really, for many Namibian household, that is food. Honestly, that is food. That is school transport money. That is electricity. You see how that would impact you? But here's what people sometimes miss. Okay? Fuel, and maybe, you know, and fuel, it doesn't just affect drivers. Okay? Like as I said earlier on, someone said, okay, yeah, those who have cars now, yeah, that's, no. Fuel, it doesn't just affect drivers. Fuel affect everything. Okay? And you have to pay attention, really, whether now you drive or you don't. You have to pay attention. As I said already.
Omudiha utekiru wakabuna ii matina omjo. Shikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshi wana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandito mwa yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo igelefe.
All right. Yeah, it is raining on this site. Could be technical issues that are going on. Just you could be on and off. We apologize for this breakup. Some could be some technical issues that are going on. We could be going off and on. All right. So as I was saying that, you know, there are certain things that sometimes people miss. We miss, most of us sometimes miss. And as I said, fuel, it doesn't only affect drivers. Fuel affect everything. Okay. When diesel goes up by, let's say, for example, by $4, as it's going to go up by April, the truck that carry your mahangu from the north, now, that pays more now, all right? So there are those who get their mahangu from the north, okay? For Malanga or what, from Malango or whatever, excuse me. So now, that pays now you have to pay more. That now they pay more. That truck has to pay more. So the bucket that deliver bread to your local shop now pay more. The taxes, the buses, the delivery vans, you know, all more expensive now. Okay. So, and those costs, and where do you think those costs go? Eh? Where do you think those costs actually go? They go, they get passed on you. Eh? They get passed on and it passed on to you. Okay. So it passed on to you in many ways. So you expect this now. You expect your food prices to go up, will go up, definitely. Your transport fare will go up. The cost of doing business, just the cost of doing business will go up. And that's what the economy called that a pass-through effect. Yeah, the pass-through effect. And in a country like Namibia, where logistic costs, for example, Namibia, logistic costs are already higher. Eh? Why the logistics costs are very high in Namibia? Because of our distance. Eh? We live so far away apart. You know, pass-through effect becomes really, really, really a problem. That pass-through effect hit hard in Namibia because of our distance. So, and let me ask you. So, in the story, if you read the story, there's how the country is now actually adapting to this problem of oil shortage in a country. So, and how are you going to adjust? Okay, how are you going to adjust? Are you going to cut trips? Share lift? What is your plan? Because that might, this could take longer. It might take long. It might not just end. And Iran is, from the way things are going, Iran is not prepared to give up that easily. It may take long. Okay? It may take a little while. So I want to hear from you. How are you going to cope? How are you going to adjust? I'm going to tell you my own personal, my own personal adjustment. And it didn't just happen now. All right. It didn't just happen now because of what is happening. It has happened for a while. I live in, I'm just giving an example. Okay. Time is hard, man. Time is tough. Okay. I'm just giving an example how you can adjust, how I adjusted. So, and I will tell you how that helped me in some way. Okay. So I live in Ongodiva. Okay. I'm not going to tell you exactly, but a little bit out, you know, just a little outside of Ongodiva. Okay. So, but still part of the town of Ongodiva though. Now, I drove to Ongodiva and then I come and park at Select. Those who have been in the north, they know the Select station. Okay. I come from there, I come and park at Select. And then I get a taxi at Select and drop me at work here. You know, because our building is just by adjusting the road. So the taxi just drop you and you just walk into there. You just walk into the building. So most of the time I park just at Select, get a taxi, you know, the taxi drop me here. I finish, I get in a taxi. Well, I get back to get my car, and then I can go and do whatever I need to do, you know? So that cut a lot. If I use my car, for example, that means I would probably, in a month, would probably use close to 2.8 or 2.3, you know, because you'll be then coming to Ondangwa, maybe do certain things. You use close to about $3,000 less than maximum $3,000, say, for example, okay? And sometime more, yeah? So, and using a taxi, that cut it to 1 point something. Could be less than a thousand, or if it's more, let's say, for example, 1.2 or 1.3 in a month. You see? So I cut it. Then you see how much I save. I save probably one point something as well. And that could be my electricity over a month. Electricity, or that could be my paying my water. Do you see that? That's why I'm asking, how are you going to adjust? Sometimes we just need to. And I see a lot of people who are coming actually to Ondangwa. Some have buckies. They pick up people just to help with petrol, with fuel and all that, you know. So it's a way that we need to survive. And we're going to talk about other countries, how they look, how they survive. So, yeah, tell me, how are you going to survive? Okay, So I'm going to give you later my number, not now, but I want you to tell me how would we survive in this situation? If this situation doesn't change, we need to. We honestly have to. And other big country, bigger economy than ours, they actually find a way to survive. Yeah. So, and this is a very, how would I call this? Economic tightrope. This is a tightrope. And I'm glad I'm not, you know, as I said earlier on, I'm glad I'm not a finance minister or the president, because there's a real, 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 real tension here. Okay. There's a real tension here. Now, on one hand, the government did the right thing by stepping in. I think the government actually did the right thing by stepping in, and the energy minister came out and told the public to stay calm. Okay. He assured the nation that fuel supply is stable, Hopefully that could be the true because you cannot really 100%, you know, believe these guys when they tell you that.
Kwafung Gurunuman, eh? Atekurombolake, aye, Borimokando, Mapo, Hamka, Tarapum Shinda, Atekurombolake, which everything is fine, eh?
So, I said, well, we have got enough stock, eh? So, someone said, I know, they, we have got enough, stock for 1 to 2 months. Yeah, for 1 to 2 months. And he urged people not to panic, buy, don't kind of like, okay, let me now buy and store some maybe in the garage. Well, I mean, if you do that because of the price, not because maybe that we will run out. But then I get worried. When was it? Friday or Saturday? I get to a station and there was no petrol. There was no fuel. You know, and then I started to feel, okay. Is this start happening? You know? Yeah, it happens. I don't know whether it's last Friday or Saturday. I went to a station and there was no petrol at all. Well, it does happen before, but you know, you're just getting to panic now that this is the situation. Yeah. So, but the government said, well, don't panic, don't do panic buy or something like that. Everything is under control. This move to cut levies by 50%. I think that's also something you appreciate.
Oh man.
The move to cut levies by 50%, and deploy the National Energy Fund. I think that's also then government actually using its tool to protect its citizen. The government is actually using the tool that's available to it to protect its citizen. And credit where credit due. And we give credit where credit due. So, as I said, bravo, you know, to the Namibian government in terms of that. Okay? But, you know, this is unpacking the day. So this is unpacking the day. So, but, and there's always a but, let's think through this and also ask some real questions. Okay? So let's also think through this, because as much as we can say, think about the 500 million. Where is the 500 million coming from? Of course we know it's coming from National Energy Fund. But I want you to think more. Okay? I want you really to think more. Now, how deep is that, those pocket? This National Energy Fund, how deep it is? Because the reason why I'm asking this, and 500 to talk about 500 million a month for a country like Namibia with actually financial strain that we're going through and a lot of other pressing issues. This is not a joke. Because if this crisis drags on, let's, for example, this crisis drags on. Now, the crisis now drags on and there's every indication from what we see, there's every indication that it might. As I said, Iran is not going to give up that easily unless something you have to, you know, few things changes these days or these weeks. It doesn't look that it's going to give up that easily. Now, we are talking about 500 million a month. Yeah. Oh my God. All right. So this is a good one. I got that, you know, I indicated that I might be on and off. Okay. And this is a good one. But so I like your full tip. I thought someone is saying, you know, you are on and off, like, you know, like the prices that of our fuel. Okay, that's patriotic to saving our much-needed Forex. Okay, good. People here in Windhoek can start using Yengo and other e-hailing services. Yeah, that's true. And we need to save on our fuel import bill, and fuel prices won't go up too much. Yeah, that's very true. We need to really, we're used to this comfort life. Okay. I mean, and, we're used to this comfort life, but I can tell you that, we need to adjust. And as I said, this doesn't look as if it's going to change. It's from the way things are going. And I don't think America, when they started with this war, they didn't think that it's going to go this long. They thought it was going to a quick business. And, the government probably revolt, you know, within Iran or take over and a quick business. It doesn't sound like that. It doesn't look that way. So the indication, it doesn't show that it's going to happen very soon. So let's hope that it ends soon. That's what I hope. But, and as I said, in Namibia, now we're talking about 500 million a month. That is 1.5 billion over 3 months. Just think about 3 months. If it goes on for 3 months, our national energy fund, is it deeper enough really to cover this over a dragged period of time? And I'm talking about 3 months now. Talk about 3 months from now, 1.5 billion over 3 months. So you have to think, can the fund sustain that? Can a fund sustain that? What happened when the fund actually ran dry? These are real questions. I'm panicking. I mean, I know the minister said, hey, don't panic and all that. But I'm panicking. I'm honestly, honestly panicking. When you think this deeply, if this goes on, you should be panicking. Believe me. Because the funds, it can't go on 1.5 billion in 3 months. Because then, does the government then have to dip into the broader national budget? So it has. And if it does, my friend, what does it get cut? What is now being cut? So seriously, we're talking about it has to be some kind of maybe health, maybe education, maybe infrastructure, you know? Yeah, we will leave your potholes in Windhoek. Eh? We're supposed to have a budget that fix your pothole. Now it goes to full. Eh? We leave you with your potholes in Windhoek. Yeah. So, and talking about potholes, this is something I need to talk on air. Driving to Oshikuku. I drove to Oshikuku. I haven't been there for a while. And I drove to Oshikuku just before you get to Oshikuku. Guys, the road authority, they need to do something. Potholes, that's not a road. Really potholes. It's not even potholes. How do you call something bigger than a potholes? It's just massive holes on the road. And if you haven't driven there before, you don't know where they are. Eh? You find yourself, you know, you see? Then, you see, this is where the problem now. The money can't go there anymore. Eh? As I said, what get cuts? These are the things sometimes get cut. The infrastructure get cuts because the money goes now to the 500 million that we have to pay a month. So, see? And this is the tight rope I'm talking about. So you subsidize fuel to protect citizens today, but you potentially weaken the state's ability. And this is very important. And this is what I want you to think as well. You potentially, this amount of 500, we can now feel, okay, for us, we protect it, we subsidize, but you're potentially also weakening the state's ability to deliver service tomorrow. You do. We do. Well, it's not something that the government would say, but it's exactly what is happening. I'm telling you, there's no free lunch. There is no free lunch here. Someone is paying. And eventually, that someone, my friend, it always have to be you. It's the Namibian taxpayers.
Eh? That someone has to be you, my friend. Hmm? And there's another angle. Okay? There's another angle before I let you come through now. And I will use my phone you to come through. Okay? And there's another angle. The levy suspension. That 50% cut. Eh? The levy suspension, that 15% cut. So we will talk about that. There's a commercial coming up quickly. So let's talk about that after that.
My friend, okay? Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how...
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economics segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the Basecamp Business Incubator. Visit www.basecamphub.com for more information and start your business journey now.
All right, welcome back. So as I said, as we celebrate, buy a few days, 2 days on, don't do panic buying. That's what the government actually telling you, because everything is under control. But as we see, you know, this subsidize help, as I said, it help us as citizens, really, which is something that we appreciate from the government. But it also, as I said, it actually potentially weakening the state ability now to deliver other services tomorrow. Today, they're protecting us, subsidizing that, but they're weakening the state. That 500 million, of course, it's in the National Energy Fund, but as I said, let's pray, and I'm telling you, really pray that this war don't continue. And sometimes this is now when we don't realize that. This is when now you realize that, well, we become a global village. Seriously. Okay? Let's pray that that war won't go on. Let's somehow file interventions and mobilize ways that this war can come to an end. Because if it's go on more than 3 months or 4 months now from now on, like the war that is going on in Ukraine, I'm telling you guys, this won't be easy. All right. So, as I said, we're looking at that. And at the other angle is this, the levy suspension for 3 months, that 50% cut. Okay. It means the government is collecting less revenue from fuel for 3 months. It's collecting less. Okay. When we're talking about 50% cut. So those levy fund, you know, those levies, they fund things. Eh? I'm talking about potholes now to Oshikuku here. When I was talking, road maintenance. They fund road maintenance. They fund the fuel equalization system. Eh? Energy infrastructure. So while it gives you a relief, at the pump, at the petrol station, it create another hole somewhere. It create another hole somewhere else. And what fills that hole? What fills that hole? And this is very serious, guys. And these are not easy decisions. As I said, I'm not the Minister of Finance or whatever, or President. I can go to bed, sleep well, but they have to sort out. They have to think. And trying to say all these things, actually, I'm not here to say the government is wrong. So I'm here to say we must keep asking questions. Seriously. Yeah? Because $500 million a month is not a small money for a country of our size. That is a lot of money. Okay. And if it goes on, as I said, in 3 months, we're going to, you lose about 1.5 billion. All right.
And this brings us to what do they say? An elephant in the room, all right? An elephant that we have been tiptoeing around for years. Eh? So we have been tiptoeing around this elephant for years. Eh? Now, what's the time? Now, seriously, as I said earlier on, okay, we said that Namibia import 100% of its refined petroleum. 100%. Every liter, we are completely, totally at the mercy of the global market. Do you know how terrible that is? So, and when we're talking about, you know, fuel, we're not just talking about, you know, filling up your car tank. We're talking about many other, it can be used for many other things as well. So that means we completely, totally at the mercy of the global market. And when oil prices now spike, let's say in Houston, in somewhere in America, or when, like now, when a strait of Hormuz closes in the Gulf, we have no buffer. Well, we have some actually, but we have no refinery, for example. We have no domestic production to fall back on. Now, we keep hearing about oil and gas discovery offshore, the Venus and the Mopane, the Graff, you know, field or well. Yeah. Well, the talk of first oil is by 2030. So, and that is exciting. I mean, for us, it's something that we're looking at. But 2030 is 4 years away. It's 4 years away. And even then, the other thing is that even then, producing crude oil is not the same as refined fuel. It's not the same. We would still need to process that oil somewhere. So, and here's the question I want to leave you thinking about. All right. Should this crisis be, now, what I'm saying is it, from my point of view, the way I'm looking at this, if I were in the government, for example, or whoever, you know, in the sector, I'm thinking, should this crisis be really a wake-up call? Now, a wake-up call in the way that it should now actually help us to accelerate, you know, investment in domestic refinery capacity. Eh? Is it not that possible? So, if it's anything, we need now to accelerate the investment in domestic refinery capacity. And the other thing is this, we are not aggressive in terms of renewable energy. Eh? Should we be more now aggressive? As I said, this should be a wake-up call. Should we be now be more aggressive about renewable energy? We talk about this all the time. Solar, wind, you know, to reduce our overall energy dependence. Shouldn't be this a wake-up call? Yeah, we keep saying Namibia has some of the best solar irradiation in the world. Yeah, then what are we doing? We are not aggressive enough. We are not really aggressive enough with the renewable energy. We have the green hydrogen ambitions. But ambition don't fill petrol tank today. Seriously. Eh? Ambition don't fill petrol tank today. Eh? So this crisis exposes structural weaknesses, as some economic people will tell you. It exposes structural weaknesses. And if we don't address it, we will be here again. The next war. Who said there won't be a next war? Or maybe not the next war, the next disruption. If it's not a war, there's some kind of disruption that happened, or the next shock. And what happened? We will be scrambling again. All right. if you want to come through, you come through my phone, our landline. We have a problem with still our landline. It's still being sorted out. Yeah, you can call my number, 08 081 854 8569. So you're most welcome to come through and and react to this, because it's something that we need to discuss. It's something that we need to discuss. So, but let's look at also, we are not alone in this. Okay. We are not the only one that I expose. So yeah, let me give you some global context quickly, because it is important to know we are not alone in this. We are not the only one. So the International Energy, the Energy Agency has ordered the largest release of government oil reserves in its history. This is now to try to bring prices down. So, yeah. So, all right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just to let you know our, just for those who may not actually know, who are trying to actually call our landline, is still not working. Yeah. And it's being sorted out, hopefully sooner we get it sorted out. Okay. So, but you can use, as I said, you can use my number, if you would like to just air your opinion or contribute to the show. So 081 854 8569. Okay, 081 854 8569. All right. So yeah. The countries around the world are taking now emergency measures. You remember what I was, as I said, the cuts that you can make. Other countries are doing that already. In Thailand, the government have asked citizens to cut back on the air conditioning. Yeah, that country is humid hot. I have been in Thailand. That country is humid hot. And I think if they can cut on that, yeah, that probably would save some energy. All right. All right. We have the first caller that's coming through. Let's see if it works. Good morning.
Yes, morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
Good. United States, Israel, Iran war is starting to touch our pocket now.
Of course, it's definitely going to touch our pocket.
Yeah, it's because we don't have reserve. We don't have oil reserve.
Yeah.
That's where the problem is. So that's why we are using that 500. Yeah, and remember that 500 used to be collected for quite some time now.
Yeah.
So they have to vomit it back to the market.
But
it's not panicking to say where are they getting that money and all of that. Yes, the government using those.
But yeah, okay, we have the National Energy Fund, but the question is, how deep it is, if 500,000, no, I mean 500 million is not, it's a lot of money per month.
Yeah, but if you calculate it in that, for those years, even from November up to March where we are today, how much money they collected.
Yeah.
Because them, they are like electricity central board. They are the same. They're making money out of nothing. Yeah, so that is where the problem is. So when problems comes, they know how to solve it out. Because is them that they putting themselves in to say, we are cover you when anything happens.
Yeah.
And the other issue that I saw is that the NANCO, the petroleum, National Petroleum Company, that is now NANCO or whatever, they sign up with the wrong guy, like this Asora. Because Asora doesn't have a reserve in South Africa, and their capacity also is small because it's 108 per day.
Yeah.
And the start of Namibia, South Africa, oil, or SADC, or Southern Africa, these circle countries.
Yeah.
Their motor, their automobile engine is also on something that is very high. It's a quality and standard. So most of this West African oil, they are not, they don't buy that one because of the sulfur, the lower sulfur that is there.
Yeah.
On those oils, so they have to buy those one from Middle East.
Which also make us actually buy from there rather than from Angola, isn't it?
Yeah. So when they're buying in Angola, they have also to putting up, because they used to get it from.
But okay, from Nigeria, now Ghana, and okay, Angola. okay. Listen here, ne? Okay, let's say for example, we needed to. I don't know how then mechanically how we could actually change our tanks maybe to fit into Angola's petrol. Why? Because they are our neighbors. Why wouldn't we do that so that we don't actually have to suffer, you know, getting oil somewhere far away from Qatar and other places far away?
Huh? No. The question is good, but oil industry doesn't work like that. Oil economy doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So when the barrel going up, the price affects everywhere in the world.
Mm.
Because even Angola will sell it for 119 now. So it has nothing to do to say, I'm getting nearby, the price is now. No. It work on the same. No matter your transport, it may end up not costing you much, but...
Yeah.
That's why if you look at some countries like the conflict in Sudan and the conflict of Libya, didn't change much on fuel demand, because the Saudi Arabia, if they were supplying about 7%, they can make up to 9% to fill that gap, because country like Libya, they are supplying.
But come on, there must be some kind of a difference. There must be some kind of difference. If I'm getting my oil, of course, the prices, well, definitely globally, that still affect everyone. But me getting it from Angola would be a bit cheaper compared to, you know, the route affect prices as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but they said it cannot work like that. It doesn't work like that.
Mm.
So, It's working almost in the same. It cannot make that huge 10% difference, no. Yeah, but ours now, what we are getting, NANCO, the mistake that I saw here is not that as we don't have oil, because the second supplier to NANCO is Puma Energy, which is BP. From BP now is Puma Energy.
Yeah.
So this one they are getting also from Singapore, which is already reaching our standard.
Yeah. And even but, if, okay, this major, oil companies, when they work in the country, shouldn't they have reserves as well?
They don't reserve much, because Puma Energy and Shell, they look at their services, their fuel station.
Yeah.
So they look at that, but the controller is now that energy, that NANCO thing is the one that is controlling the fuel in the country. So you have to bring what is the country demand, what is the National Petroleum telling you.
But then so I could reserve at least about three months as a rule, 3 months for my stations, isn't it?
Yeah, as I said, we were not affected because if you look at us, South Africa ending it up with the $4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as we come in $2, we come on $2 because we don't have much excuse to tell others that we are not getting crude oil. We are not the one that is refining this.
Yeah,
it's South Africa whom we are sending signing up a contract with. But if you look at the oil that are circulating in this country, or that is consumed by this country, it's come from Puma Energy and Shell. But the one that is accounted for 20% to 30% of the Sasora one is the one that is driving the petrol up. That's where the problem. I might end up Puma Energy can say, no, I can supply them with. Because when you are talking about the international now, the energy control board, the one that you are talking about, they releasing from the reserve, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at France, for example, it's also releasing the reserve, and the petrol is still the gasoline price is still the same up to now, because they releasing from that one. They don't act on the crude oil, because the price up is not for the refinery. It's for the crude oil that we are getting from that 20% of those Gulf of Persia.
Yeah,
that is where the problem is. So because the price of other economy, like electronic that are going through Red Sea, Suez Canal issue, that is insurance, yes, they're adding up the price because of the risk now that they are taking.
The rerouting.
Yeah, the rerouting to come to Cape of Hope.
Mm.
Yeah, that one is different from the fuel. Because most of these countries, they don't have a reserve, as I say. South Africa doesn't have. And for them to getting a reserve, a final product from Nigeria or from Algeria or from whatever, because Algeria and Nigeria and Egypt and Sudan, those ones, they have crude oil, but they don't have a refinery. Yeah, that's another issue which we have. But here we are talking about crude oil like Nasasora, where it's making us suffer. So Nanko and the minister, I think they didn't make a wise decision to say, are we sticking with Nanko? Or we're getting a new, or maybe we're bypassing the Sasora and then we're using Puma Energy to get in from Singapore straight to us, because they are our standard. So that is where the problem is. The oil may end up available, as you are saying, in Angola. It may end up available all over the world, but it's not on our standard.
Yeah.
That is another issue, which is a challenge to the minister and a challenge to the cabinet.
Yeah.
Because they are controlled by that one. And they can stick with South Africa because of that standard. Because the cars are not coming from our manufacturer. Are coming from South African manufacturer. And we are affecting a lot because insurance will be also affected. And some people, if you are saying dropping your car, so
I think we want our car redone to fit actually the Angola on this side. I'm on this side of the north.
Most of people that now they are joining up with the Jan Japan. I don't know about now the Jan Japan, but they also come from Singapore, South Asia, right?
Yeah.
So they might end up having the same issue.
It's true, yeah.
So those are now the things I'm saying. Minister of Energy and the cabinet, they didn't make the right decision. Geopolitics that are playing a big role in this oil industry and some stuff, they are killing the world.
Yeah, it does.
To be honest.
It does, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at now the 180 that they are producing by by Sasora or Natref refinery in South Africa.
Yeah.
It's not even giving enough to South Africa.
Yeah.
But you are stuck on that somebody who is also suffering and doesn't have a reserve. Instead of stick up with the big bull like the way we were having them in your head. Because total energy is now coming to us on the crude oil because them, they are 51% of that refinery, the crude oil refinery in South Africa. So they are the one that is 51% major shareholder of that company. So they have now to come to us. And no matter they're getting the crude oil to us, it might end up not cheaper. Understand?
So in a position where Namibia is, we just have to be on our knees.
You see now, it's where Minister Mas is starting waking up that, what if, because now remember Total Energy is the one who is now behind those oil discovery.
Yeah.
So them, they are the one that are playing a big role to control the crude oil and making the oil expensive or making the... playing the same standard that we are suffering now. So, Mike, let's listen to others, but I know Minister make a big mistake in for them to join up with the Sasora. If they could be changing Sasora to maybe Alika Dakota, we might end up, I don't know what, how much are we needing in a day. We might end up needing 500,000 capacity of that.
He was here, and they're talking about refinery. So I don't know how far that is actually going.
About storage.
Yeah, storage. Yeah, no, not refinery. Yeah, storage. Yeah,
that is what I'm saying. If they would be talking to that level of saying, why can't you are using our national storage here, and then maybe you're selling to Southern Africa?
Exactly.
And then as we are protected because we have. Six countries actually lying on our storage up to now. Botswana is also getting here. Zimbabwe sometimes is getting from Mozambique, but it used to come also here. Zambia is the same. We might end up like be on the same side. They need to be on knees down now. You are taking up 1.5 in it affected already National Commission.
It does.
Because National Commission is reducing his development plan because it was about 8.7, now they come to 6.2. Because of that affection. Okay. So some ministries they might end up facing the same thing that has,
exactly.
Planning commission. So thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you for coming through. All right, we're coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio, and if you want to come through, we're still actually, having some technical issue with our studio number, with our studio line. So please do come through on my personal cell phone, 081-854-8569. 081-854-8569. If you want to actually, participate on the show.
All right.
Do that. 081-854-8569. All right. So I was talking about that we are not alone into this. The countries around the world are taking emergency measures. Maybe that we should start doing the same thing. In Thailand, I was talking about Thailand, the government has asked citizens to cut back on air condition. In the Philippines, many government workers have moved to a four-day week to save fuel. So they don't work actually again. Now there's a day that is actually saved to save fuel. So 4 day week. I hope our government is listening. No, maybe it's not even the government. Maybe my boss is actually listening. 4 days week. All right. 4 days week in a country like in Philippines, actually all to save for fuel. And you have Vietnam. This more like in the Asian countries. So in Vietnam, employers are being encouraged to let staff work from home. Wow. Okay. That's good. We won't be able to do that. We need to come in and talk to you anyway. So, all right. So, yeah. So, yeah. You see, in Africa, well, experts are saying that the continent is particularly vulnerable. We are particularly vulnerable. We depend heavily on oil imports. Yeah. So, a very good morning to you. Morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. Can you hold on for a few seconds? There's an advert coming, and then after that, I'll let you can go on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba ona ovyu ne dia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to kwika ovingi no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yokuyanja oshimariva o perecente dano ko miedhe vitatu moshimariva o perecente umurongo ko miedhe hambu umwe moshimariva o perecente mirongo ivari na dano Pamiedi ya mulongwa na bivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarithiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangitha jinon.
Alright, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still
there. Okay, okay, let's go ahead then. Yeah. What do you have to say this morning, man?
Going up. If it is affecting we will not be affected like other countries are producing food waste.
You mean we are not going to be affected like other countries?
Yeah, like those who are producing food waste. Now, because the food waste producers now they are celebrating because they are getting much food. Therefore, to their country, even they can even reduce the thing price because they get much. From the food, when the food is getting cheaper, they lose.
Yeah, but in some of those countries they export crude oil, not refined. Not refined product. Yeah,
those who are exporting crude. Yeah, they are getting much.
Yeah.
Therefore, the fuel thing. They will even reduce the price.
But you know that in Africa, for example, those who, let's say, for example, in country where, let's say, for example, it was in Namibia, who own those, the major companies that own those oil plants would be actually foreigners. Do you understand?
And they
wouldn't have actually a refinery. They wouldn't have a refinery in the country, and therefore, they will now supply their countries, not specifically their country, but their client, rather than specifically Namibia. You understand? Yeah.
Yeah, but let me say, if in my country is the producing its own crude. Now, you see the demand and supply case now.
Yeah.
You see where the supply case is slowed down if the price is low.
Yeah.
But if the price is high,
yeah,
it went up. Because they want to supply more at a high price.
Yeah.
And they want to supply less at a low price. It is depends, but they are producing the fuel in my country because those who are investors, they just come to invest in my country. But if those I will get the much tax than other countries.
Mm.
Therefore, I will make better than where the price is low. It's like that.
Yeah.
Always when I see the countries like that, if they see prices put up, they said, no, we are making money now. That's what we want. It's like a copper. If you are producing copper, if the copper is up, your country is making money.
Yeah.
But if the copper price is low in the whole world, you suffer. The economy is going down.
But as it, but as I said, you know, well, in terms of GDP growth, yes, you can say your country is the economic growth, but sometimes who owns that? There's someone there, like if you take, for example, Zambia, who owns the copper in Zambia? So,
it's a foreign company.
You see? Yes. You can't really say, yes, you can say the country, you get from royalties and tax, what is that? Tax revenues. But much of that actually goes out, in a raw form. You're not really getting the share of what you deserve, actually. You know?
No, it's not. We don't have local companies
that have a capacity actually to explore and be able to.
What is the problem with Africa? If we come together, what is it's expensive? The refining oil machine is so very expensive. Why we are not unite and put up our own African refinery?
Yeah, I mean,
what is wrong with us because of what?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Yeah.
Yeah, if we come together, no matter how much the machine is costing, but if the country comes together and then we fire at the machine and they come up with their own African refinery.
Yeah, like what you're saying is that Botswana and Namibia can come together and said, okay, let's have a, you know, you're about to have to produce, you're about to produce oil. Let's come together. Let's put the finance together and build a refinery. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. We allow the foreign companies to unite and do business in our own country. That is what we are sleeping in duty.
Yeah,
we are sleeping in duty. We think those people are maybe the headman, but the people they are just unite. Come up with one thing, Jenny. From there, they make money out of that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for coming through, yeah? All right. All right. Yeah, the telephone number you can use is 08. And as I said, as soon as you are done, you are done with a call. Delete the number, please. Okay. The number is 081-854-8569. So that's the number you can actually call if you want to contribute to our discussion this morning. Our landline again from the Ondango studio is still being worked on. As soon as it's done, we will let you know. At the moment, you can only come through my personal number, 085-081-854-8569. All right. So, yeah, I was saying that in Africa, experts are saying the continent is particularly vulnerable. So, some of the callers spam. So, if your number is, good morning.
Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Uncle Bwana.
Yes.
Your number is actually listed as a spam. A suspected spam, you know.
That is not mine. Broke it.
You know, I nearly even say, I won't even take this one, you know?
Me, I've got Mike here.
Yeah. So how are you?
Mike here. So how's the morning?
The morning is fine, man.
The one, the pretext of mine, which you look nicely.
Yeah.
You might discover that, this is not Tibana's own. This is a different one. You understand?
Yeah.
People are trying to get to you.
Yeah.
Money.
So what?
So how are you doing? Been long time.
Yeah, no. Where have you been? You know, I. Did you went some overseas? Maybe I thought maybe you go and help to fight America in Iran.
No. I'm around. I've been listening.
Because you guys, they were the plan competent. You know how to fight. You know, so
to navigate by friend. This one is for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone is affected.
Yeah.
And I love the way you were saying that. Yes. You know, one of the issues that I have seen among ourselves as individuals. Everybody is taking his child to school with a car and a lot of neighbors.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, if they can have some, everybody's preparing and things like that.
Yeah.
And stay stable. And I believe, because in the situation of this eventuality, sometimes they do come and give some subsidy.
Yeah, we need
those activities and whatever.
Yeah, we need to think seriously.
For us, we need to really strategically position ourselves.
Yeah.
In terms of storage, facility. In terms of all those infrastructures, I know that very obviously, because I was also listening to other people are mobilizing their finance ministers and all those agencies.
Yeah.
To see how to navigate.
We need to. This is very serious. Yeah.
We have to affect the food.
Yeah.
The food insecurity that we have already. And despite the fact that the rain is showing its good sign, you know?
Yeah.
So we may have some baba harvest or whatever they call it. I'm just saying, looking at the sky and the way that happens.
Buena, you live in the old age where you're actually just looking at the sky and said,
No, but sometimes works, my friend. You know, when it's like this, it's likely to rain and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I think it's fine. I don't know, like you said, they are saying that the situation looks stable, and we know uncertainty when they are, you know, calm. Sometimes, you know, people get into the panic mode, you know?
Yeah.
And if they are not provided with this, some of this counseling, psychosocial, you know, lessons.
Yeah.
But in terms of aligning ourselves as individuals,
yeah.
When you know that they are my neighbors, about five, and all your children are going to the same school,
yeah.
Why can't you then say, okay,
this month it's you, this month you take the children, and this month you take the children? It saves a lot of petrol.
They all pay the fuel there.
Yeah.
Rather than individually, children are taking taxi, this one is going this other way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's also an opportunity, because I see that the transport section and logistics there, the department, can also take up those opportunities.
Yeah.
No. Because there are opportunities. There are strategies that they are already proposing.
Yeah. All right.
So, Mike, thank you very much. Let me listen to you once more again.
All right. No, thanks for coming through. Yeah? All right, spam. I will reject if your phone is a spam. I will reject. All right.
Yeah, the number to call, just to let you know that maybe you might be calling on our landline. So we're still sorting out that one. It has been badly affected. Yeah, so yeah, you can call on my personal number, 0808-854-8569. 0808-854-8569. All right. So that's the number you can, you can get to me. All right. So yeah, we were looking at that, you know, expert were saying that, the continent is particularly, Africa is particularly, you know, vulnerable. We heavily depend on import. And our currencies are under pressure, like we said earlier for Namibia. It went down. The currency went down during that time, 3.19%, you know. So our currency under pressures, our physical space are limited, especially in Africa. You know, we have so many pressing issues, and now this whole thing, you know, it's really, yeah, our economies in Africa are already struggling, and then this happened, that directly affecting our pocket, seriously. So the Strait of Hormuz, crisis is pushed oil past $100. Those are some of the news that we hear. It's actually pushed up past $100 a barrel in March, in this month. And African nation from Nigeria to Namibia are honestly, you know, feeling this squeeze. We are actually feeling the squeeze. So this is a global storm. It's not just about Namibia, but some countries have bigger. I think some countries have a bigger umbrella than others. And Namibia's umbrella, frankly, is not that big. So our umbrella is not that big. So, yeah, but we need to do what we need to do to make sure that we protect your citizen and also your force security. All right. Yeah, just to wrap up on this, on what we have discussed so far, you're most welcome to come in. Our telephone number, you can use my phone number, my telephone, my personal number, 081-854-8569. Okay, 081-854-8569. So if you want to come through and have your contribution as well. So, all right, so yeah, come April the 1st, you are paying more than now. You're gonna pay more at the pump, $2.50 more for petrol, $4 Namibian dollar more for diesel. The petrol will be around 22 a liter at Walvis Bay. And diesel will be over 23, you know, and inland expect even higher, you know, for diesel. And the government is stepping in with a record, I think, $500 million per month through the National Energy Fund. And the other thing is that a 50% cut. To fuel levies for 3 months. So it shows the government is doing something actually to mitigate the situation. And that's a real intervention. We can't ignore that. But it is also expensive. Okay? It's also expensive and it can't really last forever. We just pray that this shouldn't go on. And on for many months. So that's all what we can do. And also speak up. Yeah. As a country, we need to speak up. I think the world need to start, you know, voicing, putting their voice out there, because this war is not helping nobody. Seriously, it doesn't help nobody. It just brings everybody to their knees. For what? Really? This crisis was not made in Namibia, definitely. It was made in the Middle East, and you know who made them. And the Strait of Hormuz disruption is the biggest oil shock in history. And as a country that import every drop of its fuel, we are fully exposed. We are fully exposed. So you're most welcome. As I said, if you're trying to come through our landline, our studio line, it's not working at the moment. You can use my number, 08-08-1-854-8569. Okay? So if you call that number, if you dial that number, so I will be able, that's the way I can be able to help you come through. All right. Yeah, so and the other thing is that we expect a ripple effect, as we see that food prices will definitely go up, transport costs will definitely go up, cost of living, we don't say it will go up. Those are up already. Everything goes up when fuel goes up. And this is going to hurt households. It's going to hurt households and business alike. It's not just it's going to hurt your household's pocket. It's going to hurt the business as well. And that's how the business starts actually putting up everything up and up, up and up. And that's how it's getting to your pocket. All right. So, yeah. And this is a big one also. This is a big one. This crisis must force, from my opinion, it must force national conversation about energy independence. Seriously, I think each country, clever country, would actually look at, we don't want to actually be in the same situation again. Come something else, any disruption in this. Okay? So it should be forcing a national conversation about energy independence. So about a refinery, refining capacity, okay, is something that that's a conversation that we should have, okay? I think it's also being entertainment, it's being entertained in the government as well, but it's something that we need to look at seriously. It's a conversation that we should have. Lawmakers, these are the conversation that we should have, not just, talking unnecessary all rules and whatever in your house, rule in the parliament, the house, and spend hours and hours just arguing on certain procedures. Eh? Maybe I think in the parliament there are too young people. Maybe they are too young. There are too many young people, I think. I think there isn't a good balance. There are too many young people. And, sometimes young people lose that focus. They think I have arrived. I need to make I need to show off. We need to talk. These are the conversation, real conversation that we need to really, that will shape the future of this country, economic future of this country. So, yeah. And the national conversation about, as I talk about energy independence, about renewables, about renewables. It's something that we are not actually aggressive about it anymore. Or maybe we are, or maybe I'm just the one who's left behind, but I don't think we are aggressive enough on those. And there was a moment when this was, the dance that we were dancing on. Eh? And it looks like we're not aggressive about this. And issues like this, situation like this, crisis like this, we look at that and said, if we were aggressive enough, we wouldn't be actually in this position. Eh? About how we build a Namibia that is less vulnerable to what happens on the other side of the world. We need to look at that. Eh? And we need to see people who are discussing this seriously, with more serious way looking at this, eh? Rather than just, you know, either blaming the government, rather than nowadays. One thing I like about, you know, I think one thing I have like about, I have seen some politicians who have grown. One of that is actually Mr. Swartboy. You know, you can see that he have grown. You know, the contribution that he brings in, the conversation that he brings in the parliament, it's really substance, you know, and it's not just kind of a blaming, anymore. It's more like, you know, looking at, serious things that we need to look at in, if we want to change and build the economy of this. And there are many others. I'm just speaking on one now as an example. I'm referring to said we need to have a conversation on these issues. All right. So yeah, so Namibia, that's what is happening. That's what is happening, and that's why it's matter, and that's what we need to be watching. So that's what we need to be watching. So yeah, fuel will definitely go up. 1st of April. You shouldn't panic about it. That's what the government is saying. You should never, shouldn't be panic about. Everything is under control. so yeah, put that in a inverted comma. So everything is under control. All right. So yeah, do come through. We still have about 4 minutes. So the number you can call is 081-854-8569. 081-854-8569. Sometimes when I'm saying this, I'm not thinking. I might even not saying the right number. 081-854-8569. That's my personal number. That's the only way you can come through, because our studio line is off at the moment. All right. Yep. Yeah. 4 minutes. Still 4 minutes left. So to come through and have your say.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
All right, welcome back. And just, yeah, let's just round off with the industrial brief from the Villager. So bringing you the Villager, bringing you the industrial news, actually, that matters. Now, let's start with the story from our coast. Fishery Minister Inge Damwami had a clear message at the Ludres Crayfish Festival. This festival gala dinner last week. So Namibia has won praise around the world for how we manage our marine resources. But award alone, I don't think they are enough. So the minister says success should show in people's life. So she says they should show in people's life through proper jobs, products made right here at home, and really benefit for community living near where the fish are caught. So because we have similar issues when it comes to mining, communities that live near the mining are actually in desperate, are not benefiting from the mining where this is actually taking place. That's what the minister said. She pointed to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goal, especially Goal 14, which called for conservation, sustainable use of our oceans. So in her words, healthy oceans are essential to human life. All right. So, and she left the audience with a promise. She left the audience with a promise. What we inherit, we must preserve, strengthen, and pass on to the next generations. So that's the promise she actually left with the audience. That what we inherit, we must preserve, strengthen, and pass on the next generations. Yeah. So I wanted to challenge that with that. We had a story that I wanted to discuss today, but tomorrow is still another day. Now, turning to technology quickly before we head over to Tate, France. Now, Chen-Shen Huang, the CEO of Nvidia, the company that makes about 80% of the world AIG chips and the AI chips, okay, has made a bold claim. He believes the age of artificial general intelligence is already here. I'm here. It's here. But what does it mean? Okay, AGI, the artificial general intelligence, is the idea of a machine that can match or even surpass human intelligence. So in some cases, it would be able to learn, adapt, and do different types of work, actually without needing to be retrained each time. So Huang shared his view on the Lex Friedman podcast last week. He said, I think it is now, I think we have achieved AGI. Now, before we get too excited, he was answering actually a question about whether AI, the AI agents, could build and run a company like Nvidia with no human help, on which he answered, nope, not yet. So the odds of that happening are 0%, he said. All right. So while the technology is advancing fast, I think humans are still very much in the picture. So humans are still very much in the picture. It's actually humans who make AI anyway. So why would we be clever than God if it's God who made us? And finally, a story from our Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy. The ministry has launched its new 5-year strategic plan running from 2025 to 2030. We have been hearing that 2030. Yeah, it is designed to push now Namibia's industrial agenda forward. Imagine now we're pushing that and the Vision 2030. You know, it's exactly that, and we have now 5 years to push that. All right? So the plan is built on 5 pillars. This plan is built on 5 pillars. First, infrastructure development. So you also have to ask, where would that money come from? Second, manufacturing and value addition. It's being talked about, and you don't see anything that actually leading to that. So third, geoscience and natural resources development. Well, that could be possible. Fourth, energy sustainability challenge. That's another challenge. And fifth, good governance and operational excellence. All right. We still have people being, arrested left and right because of corruption. So those are challenges. Good pillars, but let enforcement always the issue. All of this ties into Namibia's 6th National Development Plan. The minister say the aim is simple, make sure our natural and industrial resources actually contribute to prosperity for all Namibians. So that's your industrial brief from today's edition of the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe for the Villager and be able to read for yourself. Make sure that you read for yourself about those. And join us next time for more news from the business and industrial world right here on Unpacking the Day. And that brings us very much to the end of the show this Monday morning. Hold on. It's just one day more. And drag on a few hours. All right. So from me, Michael Shaveni, I'll leave you in the good hands of Mparangaja coming up with Kufamosha. All right. Let's do this tomorrow again at the same time right here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. For Mike, goodbye. Until tomorrow.